Let's bow for prayer as we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the music that we have enjoyed. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Father, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We live for tomorrow, but there's no guarantee for it. Lord, we don't know what the political climate of the United States of America will be next year, let alone this year. And so, Father, we want to center in upon you, what you want for us. And Father, even as we've seen those Coptic Christians that were martyred for the name of Jesus Christ, Islam is on the move. Enemies abound. May we as a church be found faithful until the end. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray it. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Little progress in our advancement through Revelation. And I would say we're going to be in here another 4 months. At least. And we're going to take a bit of a break at Palm Sunday and Easter and look at the Lord Jesus around the his crucifixion, his resurrection, and we'll do that at Easter. But in the meanwhile, we're going to trod and trek our way through Revelation chapter 12. You'll recall last week we ended with chapter 11, mentioning the two witnesses. Has anyone come to any conclusion on those two witnesses during the tribulation? I kind of threw you a curveball, thought what I thought, and the scripture doesn't tell us who it is, but he sure makes us guess. But more than likely, it's going to be Moses and Elijah, but the church is going to be gone. And that leads me to, why do we study prophecy? There's a reason for it. It's in his word, and it's for us to study and to know what God is up to and why he's up to it and why he did what he did in the past and how much has he given to us for the future. So today, we are looking at the 12th chapter. Let me read 5 verses for you. Verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Now, if you and I take those 4 verses, it almost sounds like something Hollywood would come up with. What does it mean? Why is it there? Can we actually know who it is? Is it all speculation, Or can Scripture help us decipher this prophetic word? Go to verse 5. And we're just going to touch on this one today. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, I've read through that fairly slowly, so you can pick up some of those words and even perhaps be ahead of me. God has revealed prophecy and then fulfilled some of the prophecies as well. And it is to prove that Scripture is of divine origin. It is trustworthy, and it's to be studied with confidence. And after all that we know for certain of God is that which is recorded for us in His Word. He left us no other book except His Word. And you know what He wants us to do? Master it. Master it. Every field or career that one might go into, it takes years to master a profession. We learn from books. We learn from trial and error. We learn from experience. We learn from our mistakes. And it's the same way as we endeavor to master the Word of God. All of us in ministry go to undergraduate school. We get our bachelor's degree. We think we know everything. And then we go to seminary. And we find out in the first day that we know very little. And then graduate school for 2 to 3 years. And then we begin to realize we're just beginning to grasp His Word. And then we're in the field, and we're with people, and we preach, and we teach, and we counsel, and we lead, and we make mistakes, and we correct them. The Word of God is to be mastered, and to do our best to master it. And prophecy is a part of this word. So here, prophecy was designed additionally to bring peace to the believer. And this is one of the great results of the study of prophecy. It will bring peace and assurance to the child of God. This is a great drama. This great promise of one who would crush the serpent's head and the actual coming of that one to do that, to fulfill that prophecy. This great drama is described for us in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Now, if you would, go back to Genesis. Would you do that with me? That's right back to the beginning. And go to chapter 3 of Genesis. Now, we're not going to read much of this. I simply want to point out to you and to me that the 12th chapter of Revelation refers back to Genesis chapter 3. Jimmy, go and sin no more. Hey, I've heard worse, trust me. Okay, here we go. That was a good intermission there, Jimmy. Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man, the serpent enticing Eve and Adam. And then the scripture tells us, because of the fall, the Lord said to the serpent, verse 14, because you have done this, cursed are you from the cattle, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you will go, and dust you will eat, and the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between you and the seed, and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. In other words, Jesus in the future is going to bruise serpent Satan by throwing him in the pit. And Satan will do war with Christ, but all he'll do is bruise his heel. So chapter 3, Genesis 3 to Revelation chapter 12. Now, we're also going to see this dramatic and powerful portion of Scripture, which defines for us the birth of Jesus Christ in sweeping, cosmic, eternal proportions. But beyond seeing him as the King of Israel, beyond seeing him as our personal Lord and Savior, this takes us to the great drama of the conflict of good and evil that has raged ever since the fall of Satan and will until its culmination in the crushing blow delivered by the Son of God to Satan. So here we have just read those five verses. Let me repeat a couple of those verses and point some key issues out for us as we begin to discover chapter 12. Notice verse 1. There was a great sign. Now, a sign in Scripture is pointing to something other than the sign. In other words, a sign is given to us about something that is down the road. It's a warning. We see it on the highway every day. A sign. There's going to be a curve to the right. A sign will tell us, slow your speed for the curve. The sign isn't the issue. The sign is pointing to something that's down the road. So this great sign appeared in heaven. Now it appeared in heaven. What was the sign? A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant. She cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, seven horns, and on his heads were seven crowns, or diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, hurled them to the earth, and this dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. So that when she gave birth, he was ready to devour the child, and she gave birth to a son, a male, who is going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Let me show you a contrast. Perhaps I was going to speak today on transgenderism. I could use this verse. A male child. How do we know? Maybe he only thought he was a male. Just a sign. How do we know? That can show you that a topical message, you can easily use scripture out of their context to prove your points. I'm not going to do that this morning. But however, I am going to take three individuals and a few more and try to describe as celestial images, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. Here's John the Apostle receiving a revelation from God, and he is recounting it by writing it down. A great sign appeared in heaven. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, what I want to do for us today is identify some of these signs. Next week, how those individuals interact prophetically. So today, I'm not going to go into the prophecy aspect, but I want to clearly define these people or these signs from Scripture, and then that will prepare us for next week as to the activity. Now, this first of seven signs, John relates and describes as a great sign. In Revelation 12, 13 and 14, the main figures of the great tribulation are described. Now, we are not in the tribulation right now. This is not affecting all the earth. But 12, 13, and 14, we're going to see main figures of the great tribulation, and this great sign introduces the first of the seven. Now, what we must do as we look at this Sunday and next Sunday is we must know who these signs represent, because they are going to interact into the future. The woman, she's representing Israel. The 12 stars are representing the 12 tribes. Why? What's the big deal? The tribulation period of time in the future is going to be subjected predominantly to the rejecting nation of Israel and the 12 tribes, of which no one knows what tribe they are from. Now, here's an interesting character. The dragon. He's going to represent Satan. Satan himself. You will notice the man-child. This man-child is going to refer to Jesus. The woman is Israel. The 12 stars are the 12 tribes. The dragon is Satan. The man-child is referring to Jesus. Now the angel Michael is head of the angelic host. The angel Michael, the archangel, is the head of the angelic host. And the offspring of the woman, representing Gentiles who come to faith in the tribulation. Now you're asking me, how do I arrive at all of that? That's a great question. Hang in there with me. You'll also notice the offspring of the woman, representing the Gentiles who come to faith in the tribulation, and you'll also notice the beast out of the sea represents the Antichrist. Now the beast out of the earth, which is different, is representing the false prophet who promotes the Antichrist. Everybody have that now? See how easy this is? If you break it down, first of all, you'll begin seeing how all of this fits together in a cosmic drama. Beast out of the sea is the Antichrist. Beast out of the earth is the false prophet who promotes the Antichrist. Now, let's look at this woman clothed with the sun. Because John plainly says, this is a sign. So we don't expect this woman to appear literally on earth in the future. God will use this sign to communicate to John and to us what has happened in the past and how it's going to be fulfilled in the future. How it was begun in the past, how it will be fulfilled in the future. Now, throughout Scripture, women often represent religious systems in Revelation. For instance, if you're in Revelation with me, you can go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notice, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Jezebel is associated with a religious system promoting false teaching. Go to 17 of Revelation. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. So again, the great harlot is referred to as a woman. Last illustration, Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's the church, the bride, has made herself ready. So the bride is associated with the church. The great harlot, false religious system. Jezebel, religious false system promoting false teaching. Now let's go a little further on this. This is not to denigrate women and to elevate men. No, this was a sign in Scripture pointing out something else. The woman clothed with a son. I'm going to show you a picture here in just a moment. The woman clothed with the son. This woman has been associated with many different religious systems. The Roman Catholics claim this woman is Mary, pictured as the Queen of Heaven. However, Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, founder of Christian Science, said she was the woman. Now, Christian Science is huge. They've got reading rooms in every major city of the United States of America. However, it's common in Roman Catholicism art to represent Mary as standing on a crescent moon with 12 stars around her head. If we turn that this on as an example of religious art. 12 stars. This is Mary. Mary. These are just two samples. And the 12 stars around her head. Now, if I could give you other Roman Catholic art, and she's standing on a crescent moon. And the crescent moon. And I don't have that for you to see. Thank you, Sam. But what we're seeing here is in Roman Catholic art, Mary is displayed as the Queen of Heaven with the stars representing all of her children, the Virgin Mary, who never had sex after Jesus because she was a virgin, and she remained a virgin her whole life, but we all know that she had children. But in religious art, she stands upon a crescent moon, which stands for Islam, meaning she is lording over Islam because she is standing authoritatively on the crescent moon. And you can get on Google and see thousands of pictures of her standing on that crescent moon, meaning Catholicism is a dominant faith of believers known as Christians, where we dominate even Islam. So you can see why Islam is not friendly with Catholicism. Now, this woman clothed with a son, scripturally, this woman should be identified with Israel, not Mary, symbolically. Now, I want to justify that for you and give you some evidence. This woman in Revelation 12 represents Israel, not Mary. If you go with me to Genesis 37, and you'll have to get there quickly, verses 9 through 11. 37, 9 through 11. Let me read this for you. Now he had still another dream. Who had the dream? Let me make it simple for you. Joseph. Remember, Jacob had sons, and Joseph had dreams. He would come down and he would define his dreams and describe them to his brothers, who ultimately were jealous, threw him in the pit, sold him to Egypt. Okay, verse 9. Now he had still another dream, and related it to his brothers, and said, "Lo, I have still had another dream." Can you imagine those brothers? "And behold, I've covered up that. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." This is what Joseph was saying. He related it to his father and to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow down ourselves before you to the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. In other words, Dad couldn't forget what Joseph told him. And you and I know what happened 20 years later. Dad was hungry with all the Jews. Joseph was made second in the nation of Egypt, and he sold food to his brothers. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped him. Now, this woman is identified with Israel. For in this dream, the sun represented Jacob. The moon represented Joseph's mother, Rachel. And the 11 stars were the sons of Israel, which bowed down to Joseph. In this sign with 12 stars, Joseph is now among the other tribes of Israel. Now, in other passages, Israel or Zion or Jerusalem is often represented as a woman. Just give you one example. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20, let me read it. "Surely as a woman treacherously departs from her lover, so you have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." Who departed from the Lord? Israel departed from her, from him. I could give you others. Isaiah 54, 1 to 6. Ezekiel 16, 8 to 14. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. For time's sake, we're not going to read those. But what is it doing? Israel or Zion or Jerusalem is often portrayed as a woman. Now, back to Revelation 12, verse 2. "As she was pregnant, she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth." She was being with child, and later in the chapter, I think it's clear that this child born of Israel is Jesus. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's the millennial rule of Jesus Christ that you and I covered months ago. Male child. "She cried out in labor and in pain to give birth." The pain, I think, described here refers to the travail of Israel at the time of Jesus' birth under Roman occupation. Remember, Herod wanted all children, 2 and under, killed? Why did Mary and Joseph and the child escape to Egypt? For safety. last. And then we're going to see how this comes together next Sunday. I'm just trying to give you some definitions now. The dragon. Look at verse 3 of Revelation 12. Then another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his heads 7 crowns or 7 diadems. Now there was another sign in heaven, verse 3 said. Again, I think we are reminded that this is a sign of something yet to come. The creature here was not literally a great fiery red dragon, but the dragon represents his nature and his character. His description symbolically suggests his fierce power, his murderous nature, a picture of the fullness of evil in all its hideous strength. Now let's look at the 7 crowns on his head, or diadems. This dragon has great power. 7 heads, 10 horns, and claimed royalty and authority with the diadems, or the crowns. Now these crowns represent the presumptive claims of royal authority against the true king. Back to Genesis 3. He will bruise his heel, that is of Christ, but Christ will crush his head. So here we have the presumptive claims of royal authority against the true king. And he wants to be considered a king. I found John Wolver very interesting on this particular passage. He writes, from the similar description given in 13:1 that we haven't gotten to yet, and the parallel references to Daniel 7, verses 7 and 8, it becomes clear that the revived Roman Empire is in view. Now I want to go there next week with you. How all this interacts with this description. The 7 heads, the 10 horns, refer to the original 10 kingdoms, of which 3 were subdued by the little horn of Daniel 7, verse 8. Who is to be identified with the world ruler of the great tribulation who reigns over the revived Roman Empire. Now I'll get into that next Sunday. Again, I'm just trying to lay some of these signs out before us. Verse 4. The dragon looks to the earth, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Notice, in chapter 12, verse 9, skip down, we were reading 4, but skip down to verse 9, and you're going to see how some of this all intertwines next Sunday. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You know, as you listen to the news and I listen to the news, does any of this stuff relate to what's going on around us. We almost don't know what's true. We don't know what's false. One says that Russia's evil and wicked. Another says they want to make friends. And he drew a third of the stars of heaven. Here, many believe this describes one third of the angelic host in league with Satan. Revelation 12:9. The army of angelic beings, all in league with Satan, makes up the world of demonic spirits. Wow. Do you ever wonder what you're looking at on TV? Do you ever wonder what's filling all of the hatred, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Arab, the war against Ukraine, the war against Russia, North Korea nuclear, China nuclear, America nuclear. We want Greenland. We want the Suez Canal, Panama Canal. Do you ever wonder what's going on? I know what's going on. A third of the angels of Satan in league doing what they can against that which is good. We haven't seen anything yet. One commentator put it this way. God never made an evil being, but he made angels, principalities, powers, capacitated for mighty joys and distinctions in his glorious domain, yet with free will implied, catch that? Yet with free will implied in the very creation of moral beings, which they could exercise for their everlasting weal or woe. Many have remained steadfast to wit, Michael and his angels, but some abode not in the truth, but revolted against the rule of heaven and became unchanging enemies of God and his kingdom. You have one third of all angels as demons, and two thirds of angels that are working for God. Please keep this in mind as we go into this next week. To devour her child as soon as he was born. To attempt to devour her child was initially fulfilled by Herod and his attempt to kill Jesus as a child. Remember that? That was attempted. Matthew 2, 16 to 18. It was also fulfilled throughout Jesus' life, as Tom had mentioned this morning, where Jesus was led into the wilderness, met Satan under that great temptation, and Satan attempted to take over the Godship of Jesus Christ. That's found in John chapter 8, verses 58 and 59. And you can also see how Satan attacked him in Mark 4, 35 to 41. Now, that's all the help you need this morning. We're going to go into chapter 12 next week and to begin to see the activity between the woman child, the woman, the child, and the dragon, and the war that's gone on, that's going on, and that will go on. And we'll see that next week, even picking up verse 5, Jesus' ministry described by its earthly beginning, the child. We'll see that next week. I hope I haven't confused you too much. I'll review this next week with you, as there is the interplay with all of these seven signs. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, it certainly was not our intention to confuse our people or to overpower their thinking here, or to create angst with anyone, but simply to demonstrate that your word is all we have to go by. And as we see what's happened in the past, historically, some history, prophecy has been fulfilled, but the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled in the future. But thanks be to God, the church will be gone. So, Lord, I pray, as we study your word and attempt to master it to the degree that we are able, Lord, just thrill our hearts at your divinity. Thrill our hearts with your majesty and your transcendence and your resplendent glory. That you are in charge, and that you have told us what are some of the things that are going to transpire into the future, and that some of it is being outlived in the very society in which we live today. Father, would you be blessed and your people edified? In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. And you're dismissed. We'll meet back here in 20 minutes.